Amen. Somebody ever told y'all sing pretty good? It is nice to hear you sing. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I've always believed that the congregation is the best choir we have in any church, you know. I used to love to go to chapel in seminary, and I know I was an oddball because a lot of guys didn't, but I loved to because I loved to hear the singing, and it was mainly men, and you don't get to hear that very much. Mainly men in that chapel. Boy, when we sing songs like this, wow. I mean, you just get goosebumps. And then when I had the privilege of going to D.C. when the Promise Keepers, we did our Stand in the Gap prayer rally, and there were over 1 million men there on the mall, and we sang that song, and How Great Thou Art. You haven't, I just thought, Jesus, you just missed a really good chance to come back, because we're about halfway there, you know. I mean, it wouldn't have taken much to be there. It was awesome. So, open your Bible, Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 10 through 19 tonight. We're talking about picking the right path. Last week, we studied the importance of one generation passing down wisdom to the next generation. That's God's ordained pattern. Grandparents pass it down to parents, who pass it down to kids, who pass it down to grandkids, and on and on. And we talked about that the Christian parenting is not just about raising and having Christian kids. It's about having Christian grandkids. So tonight, we're going to talk about the two paths that everyone must choose between. There's only two. So let's stand together. Let me begin reading verse 10, read down through verse 19, and we'll get our study together. Solomon says to his son once again, this has been repeated several times already, "Listen, my son, accept my words, and you will live many years. I'm teaching you the way of wisdom. I'm guiding you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Guard it, for it is your life. Keep off the path of the wicked. Don't proceed on the way of evil ones. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass it by. For they can't sleep unless they've done what is evil. They're robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. But the way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't even know what makes them stumble." Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we once again come before you and we ask and we beg that you would teach us. God, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, that you would anoint me to preach your word tonight. You know I need help. God, I pray that you would anoint every one of our ears because you know we need help listening. That Father, you would help us accept your word into our lives and hide it in our hearts that it may bear fruit, that we might be transformed through the working of your spirit and the power of the word. God, tonight I pray that we would respond to your activity in our life, that we would do it publicly if necessary, but we would do it nonetheless. Don't let us just listen. Don't let us just take notes. Don't let us just come and go. Dear God, help us. Help us to be transformed, to take a step closer to you, to fall deeper in love with you, to commit to a deeper commitment. Help us tonight, Father, to choose the right way to live. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. There's a very popular notion in our culture today that there are many different ways to live. There are many different paths to God, many different ways. And it really doesn't matter which one you choose. It's up to you, your personal preferences, your personal feelings, your personal opinions, whatever. It really doesn't matter because they all lead to the same place. That's the gospel of Oprah. That's the gospel of some others out there. But the Bible teaches something radically different. There are not many different ways to live. There are not four different ways to live. The Bible says there's only two. Only two ways to live. Only two paths to choose from. One that leads to God and life, the way that Solomon will term the way of wisdom. Jesus talked about it being the narrow road. And then the other one that leads away from God, to death and destruction, what Solomon calls the way of the wicked, what Jesus talked about as the broad path. There's a couple things I want you to notice before we get started, and that's number one is that wisdom and wickedness both are described as a path, as a course of life. They're progressive things, they're journeys. They're not something you arrive at. You don't become wicked overnight. You don't become wise overnight. But the further you walk along these paths, the more wisdom, the more wickedness shows up in your life. The New Testament talks about the way of wisdom being like walking in the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, the more we walk in the Spirit, the more the fruits of the Spirit will show up. And the more we give in to the old flesh, the more that the acts of the flesh will show up. They're progressive. They take it one step at a time, and that's why it's so important that we choose the right path. Because when we first start, it may not seem like there's much difference. It may not seem like, well, this is wicked, but it's not that bad, and everything's going. But before long, if we're not careful, we can be a long way away from where we need to be. And the second thing is, these two paths could not be more different. One is described as a straight path. The other is a twisted path. One is a smooth path. The other is full of potholes and obstacles. One gets brighter and brighter, and the other gets darker and darker. One leads to life and leads to God, and the other leads to destruction and leads to the devil. So with that in mind, let's get into the text. Verses 10 through 12, I want you to, first of all, hear the father's plea again to his son. Pay attention to wisdom's guidance. Pay attention to wisdom's guidance. Solomon has been very intent on making sure that his son takes pursuing wisdom to heart, that he makes it his top priority. He's pled with his son over and over in these first four chapters of Proverbs, and he'll do it again before we finish with these first four or five chapters of Proverbs. Please, son, pay attention. And he pleads with him one more time, and he pleads with us as well. Pay attention. Listen, accept the words. Now, folks, let me just say, being distracted is not just a problem that young people have. We live in an age of distraction. I mean, we have social media, 24-hour news cycles, smartphones, streaming TV, more activities than we can shake a stick at. We have information overload, all kinds of voices, all kinds of teaching out there, all kinds of stuff out there. We're kind of like the little kids. Have you watched little kids play t-ball? Best entertainment value in town, I'm telling you. You want cheap fun and a lot of it, go watch t-ball. It's great. But what happens out there? We're kind of like the one little boy, he's out there in right field. You know, right field's kind of where they place the ones that, you know. And he's just out there praying, Lord, please don't let him hit a ball to me. But then somebody hits a ball to him. And he gets the ball. Finally, and he gets it up, and everybody is yelling at him what to do. Throw the ball to first, throw the ball to second. And everybody, moms and dads, even the vendors in the concession stand, they're all yelling at the little booger. You know, and you know what happens to him? He's like a deer in the headlights. He just freezes. He don't know what to do because everybody's yelling at him. And the coach who's trying to get him to do the right thing, he's drowned out by all these other people. And so what happens is he either freezes or he just throws the ball, and it don't matter where it goes. You know, that's kind of the way we are today. We get this issue in our life. We get a problem in our life, and we have all of these voices telling us what to do. Throw it there, go this way, up here, down here, and all that kind of stuff. And it's so loud and so many that it's drowning out the voice of God, and we hear that, and what we end up doing sometimes is we just freeze or we make an error. Solomon has taught his son how to find the way of wisdom. He says, I've guided you on straight paths, the right way. But son, I'm not always going to be around. I'm not always going to be around to show you the way to go. I'm not always going to be around to teach you this wisdom. You're going to have to choose to stay on this right path. Once I set you on that path, once you've accepted wisdom, once I set you on the path, son, you've got to choose to stay on that path. And the promise is that Solomon gives him is, if you do, you'll enjoy many years of life. Now notice he doesn't promise him many years of trouble-free life. Job would bear witness to that. Job lived in a good life. He pleased God, and yet he suffered so very much. But Solomon has told us, we've already talked about it, we'll talk about it again. This is a path, while it doesn't exempt us from trouble, it does help us avoid disaster. It does help us avoid an early death. Psalm 16, verse 11 in the New King James says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And Solomon is pleading with his son, "Son, listen to me. Pay attention to me. I've taught you wisdom. I've shown you the straight path. If you stay on it, you'll have a good life." And like Rehoboam, we need to pay keen attention to wisdom. Like Solomon's son, we need to accept God's word. We need to learn it. We need to own it. We need to take it to heart, as we talked about last week. We need to learn the straight path. We need to learn what it is to walk on that. If we want to experience life and life everlasting, then we better pay attention. And I hope, and as we study through the book of Proverbs, that you're doing as I suggested a few weeks ago or whatever, that you read a chapter a day. It's wonderful how Proverbs is set up. 31 chapters. Usually there's 30 to 31 days in a month. You can read it every month and just keep repeating it. I've been doing that now for a long, long time, and I still haven't got it down. I'm still trying to pursue wisdom. And I'm 61 years old. I started this when I was in seminary, so I was a kid, and I heard Billy Graham, that's what he did. I thought, hey, if Billy can do it, if Billy has to do it, it's good enough for me. So he reads Psalms and Proverbs, and so I've done that, and I've read that and stuff. And I was telling my Sunday school class today, we were talking and Paul's teaching there about him finishing well. That's a big deal for me now, finishing well, because I've seen too many guys here in recent months and years not do that. And it's so easy. And I don't want to ever get to a place where I think, well, I'm exempt. I don't have to read my Bible. I don't have to be as diligent. I don't have to go to church as much. I don't have to study as much. I don't have to pray as much. I never want to get to that place that I think I'm too good or too busy or too knowledgeable or too spiritual to listen anymore. Because I remind you what I said last week. The man that said this, Solomon, himself fell in his senior years. He did not continue in the way of wisdom. And folks, if Solomon could fall, then we're all need to take that to heart. So, son, pay attention. Secondly, he says, stay on the path of wisdom at all costs, in verses 12 and 13. He describes the path of wisdom in verse 12. He says, this path that I've set you on will not hinder your steps as you walk. The idea here is that there's nothing to hinder or restrict your progress. It is a way that is not cramped. This way is not rocky. There are no potholes, no loose rocks, no hidden danger. Even when you run, he says, there's nothing that will cause you to stumble. It is a straight path. It is a path of safety. It is a path of security. Stay on that. And he goes on to say, son, hold on to this instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it. Don't drift. Don't start listening over here to the siren song of this or over there to how cool that is, or, well, the big crowd, they're over there. And so Solomon says, hang on to this that I've taught you. Don't drift. Earlier, Solomon described wisdom as like being silver and gold, like precious jewels, things you want to hold on to, things you want to guard, things you want to take care of. Here he uses a feminine pronoun again. Some of your Bibles translate this verse. The ESV does. It says, guard her, for she is your life. Talking to a son about his wife, about his mom, about whoever, the woman, that you take care of her, you guard her. The danger is that we let the lessons of wisdom slip through our fingers and we lose them. We let the lessons of wisdom become old, become forgotten because we don't review enough, we don't read enough, we don't hold on to it enough. Warren Wiersbe is one of my favorite commentators. He just went to be with the Lord this year, and the church is poor for his passing, but he's blessed us with all his great commentaries and his B commentaries, and And the one on Proverbs is be skillful. And this is what Wiersbe says about this. He says, if you're willing to do God's will, you'll have God's guidance. John 7:17. But if you treat God's will like a buffet lunch, choosing only what pleases you, he will never direct you. As I've said before, the will of God isn't for the curious, it's for the serious. I'm going to write that one down. That's a good one. The will of God isn't for the curious. Well, I wonder what God's will is for me. That's interesting. It's for the serious. You see, the path of wisdom, the path of doing God's will, isn't a buffet. It isn't something we can choose. Well, I think I'll do this, but I don't really care about that. And I'll take a little bit of time to think about this. And when it's convenient, I may go over here and do this. It's not like that. We've got to hold on to it. We don't let it go. We guard it. We'll hang on to it at all costs. Because the reason, he says, is wisdom holds the key to life itself. It shows us the way to life, to a full and long life. It shows us the way to eternal life. Jesus has become our wisdom. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You don't know what it is to go to heaven. You won't know what it is to please God. You won't know what it is to walk with God. Then you need to guard the wisdom. You need to guard the word in your heart and stay on the path of wisdom at all costs. And folks, I want to tell you, it's harder now than it's ever been to stay on that path. It is so tempting to get off. It's so tempting to get distracted. It's so tempting to go this little way. Well, I'm going to go here because it looks good. And this little way, you know, that kind of thing. That's why we have to be diligent. And I want to tell you something. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. You got to stay just as diligent as you ever did. Because once again, the fellow that wrote this, didn't. And he stumbled in his later years. And he let his lusts for women and other things cause him to go a different way. So he says, stay on the path of wisdom. Thirdly, he says, avoid the path of the wicked. Now it's interesting. You would think that the opposite of the path of wisdom would be the path of ignorance or foolishness. That's not the case. The opposite of wisdom is wickedness. Wickedness is a disregard for God's law. It's an intentional, willful disregard. 82 of the Proverbs have to do with wickedness. Did you know that? Of the 900 and some Proverbs, 82 have to do with wickedness. It is a huge topic. Wickedness is arrogance. I'm going to do my thing versus God's thing, and I don't care if it hurts you or not. Matter of fact, if I have to hurt you to do it, I'll do it. It's an aggressive thing. I'm going to get my way, and I don't care if I blow up the church. I don't care if I blow up my marriage. I don't care who I blow up and who I hurt. That's wickedness, and thus the danger. And you see the urgency in Solomon in verses 14 and 15. Those verses are made up basically of six urgent commands. For Solomon understands the path of wickedness is so dangerous, it is so deadly that even to take a few steps, even to stop and look at it, it's so dangerous that Solomon repeatedly shouts to his son, keep off of it, son, don't walk on it, avoid it, don't travel on it, turn from it, not toward it, pass it by, don't even pause to consider it. Just bang, 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 one run after another. Why the urgency? Well, Solomon says because of the wicked people that you'll end up associating with, you'll be following. They live in a morally upside down world where sin has become a duty. They won't even rest until they commit it. They won't even rest not only until they commit it, but until they cause others to commit sin as well. That sin and wickedness has become second nature to them. It's their diet. It's the bread they eat, the wine they drink, or good Baptist, the milk they drink. It has become second nature. And they can't wait for you to join them. And they can't wait for you to fall. So avoid the path of the wicked. Don't even pause to look at it. It is so dangerous. It is so deadly. And part of the reason for it is that it's a progressive thing. The first step may not get you the second step, but before long, if you're not careful, it'll get you. And then finally, Solomon contrasts the two ways to show his son that these two paths are as different as night and day, literally. The two paths could not be more different. One path is like a light. It's like the dawning of sun. The other is a trail of darkness. The path of wisdom, Solomon says, gets brighter and brighter with each step. It enables us to see more of the path and we have greater understanding and we walk in greater wisdom until we're truly made wise one day in the presence of Jesus himself, who called himself the light of the world. But the way of the wicked is a way of darkest gloom. It is so dark that the wicked don't even see what makes them stumble. Does that sound familiar in our culture today? They don't even realize what it is. They hear something like the shootings that's gone on, and they struggle. They reach for answers. Well, I don't know. And everybody's got a different opinion. They don't even know what's caused us to get to this place. You can't see the things that the way things really are. You keep falling into misery and trouble. People that walk down this path, they can't see that laziness is the reason they can't hold a job. They think it's because the boss doesn't like them. They don't understand that lack of self-control and not giving your wife attention is the reason for their porn problem. They think it's their wife's fault or their husband's fault or something. They'll blame anybody and everybody. They're victims. Wickedness keeps us from seeing rightly. We may think we're taking the right steps. It may seem right to you, but you'll not see what causes you to stumble. Because it's so dark. It's so dark. But wisdom is progressive too. It's like the soft light of dawn that grows into full midday brightness. The longer we walk, the more we see. The longer we walk, the brighter it gets. The longer we walk, the more we see Jesus. Until one day we stand in his presence on Resurrection Day. And we'll be made wise. We'll see completely then, Paul says. Right now we see through a glass darkly, but we get a taste of it. We get a taste of what the future holds when we seek wisdom. John wrote about this. He used the imagery of light and dark a lot in his writings, in the gospel, and then in his letters. And in 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 through 10, 1 John 1, 5 through 10, he says this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. And there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. It doesn't matter how much you profess. You can claim all day to be a Christian. But if you walk in darkness, if you walk away from the Lord, if you walk in the way of wickedness, if you practice sin, John says, you are lying. You're not telling the truth. Either you're self-deceived or you're trying to deceive others. But he goes on, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, and how do we do that? Well, we follow him. If we follow the light of the world, then we're going to be in the light. The closer you get to the light, the more light you have. He says, we'll have fellowship with one another. Why? Because we're walking in the light. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Rehoboam, listen to me, son. I know there are a lot of people out there that are going to be telling you that it doesn't really matter which way you go. Rehoboam, I want to tell you something. There's only two ways, and they're as different as night and day. And you've got to stay away from the dark. Because once you get on it, you won't even know why you're on it. You won't even know why you're having such a miserable life. You'll be blaming God. You'll be blaming your mamas and daddies. You'll be blaming the government. You won't even know what's going on in your life. That's how dark it is. But old Rehoboam, if you walk on the way of wisdom, you'll see the light. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians in the New Testament that Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wisdom is found in Jesus and in following him. And we must be diligent and we must walk and follow him and avoid the path of least resistance at all costs. So as we wrap this up tonight, let me ask you, just ask us all a few questions. Is there an area of your life that needs a mid-course correction? Because the thing about the path of righteousness and darkness is sometimes you can be mostly on the path of righteousness or the light path, and yet this area is dark. Maybe you started following the ways of the world. For example, maybe it's quick temper, maybe gossip, maybe a critical negative spirit. Maybe part of your walk in the dark. Maybe you're living part of your life in the dark. Maybe it's drinking or maybe it's drugs or an affair or whatever. Paul warned the Galatians about the acts of the flesh. He lists them there in Galatians 5 and 6. And he says to us, it's a sign. If we practice these things, if these things are more evident about us than God and the fruit of the Spirit, then we're walking down the wrong path. And we need to repent. And we need to turn. And we need to come back to Jesus. I love the space program when I was a kid. I wanted to be an astronaut so bad, go to the moon and stuff. And the thing about the Apollo ships, when they would go to the moon, every so often they'd have to make what they called a mid-course correction. Because in the course of the flight, because of the pull of gravity and other forces out there, the ship would just get a little bit off. And maybe it was just a degree or two, but if you kept on that path, what was just a little bit off here, by the time you got out to the moon, you'd completely miss the moon. And Solomon is saying to Rehoboam, Rehoboam, be careful, because you're on a journey. Jesus said, come follow me. But we have to be careful. And this is not a real popular message for preachers to talk to people anymore, because we want everybody to have their best life now and everybody to be happy and stuff. But I'm here to tell you, we need to make sure on a regular basis, I think a daily basis, that we're still heading in the right direction. We need to take time every day to make sure that we take a mid-course correction and we come back to true north. We need to and we don't need to use other people and say, well, you know, I'm better than old so-and-so over there. And if he'd just get, or my wife, you know, if she would just get her act together, then I would get my act together. You know? Or I think I'm okay. I mean, ba-da-da, you know, kind of thing. That's not the standard. That's the standard. Jesus is the standard. When we hold our life up, we don't hold it up next to a friend or a whatever. We hold it up next to the Lord. And wherever there's any difference, even the smallest difference. See, Solomon is telling his son, don't even pause on the way of the wicked. Don't even turn away from it. Don't turn toward it. Solomon, Rehoboam, be careful. Be careful. We used to sing a song in youth camp all the time, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And that was for revival and for hot. But I want to tell you something, too. It only takes a spark to get the fire of wickedness going, too. That little thought, that little activity, that little thing, only takes one. Solomon should have listened to his own advice. And I encourage us tonight, make sure that you pick the right path. Make sure that you make a mid-course correction. When you start seeing the acts of the flesh, that ought to be like warning lights on the dashboard of your car. It's time to pull over, get on your knees, and do some serious confession of sin. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you that you so clearly lay out in your word the truth. that there's really only two ways we can go. The road that leads to life, the road that leads to death. Thank you for the warning signs you've placed up there. And the tragedy is there are many that willfully choose to ignore the warning and go that way anyway. So help us tonight, Father, to pay attention to the words of wisdom. Help us tonight, Father, to recommit, no matter how old we are, how much of a Bible student we are, no matter who we are, help us to recommit tonight to stay on the path of wisdom at all costs and to avoid the way of the wicked at all costs. And help us to remember that the two paths are as different as night and day. So help us tonight. If we need to respond, do so. If we need to confess, make a mid-course correction. There's some people that maybe do not need to rededicate their life. Maybe some that need faith. There are others that need whatever. God, tonight, you'd work, and we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. As we stand together, Thomas leads us, would you respond to the Spirit of God tonight?